Carolyn Surik is a musician who specializes in early music. She's an acclaimed viola da gamba player who tours and records with Ensemble Galilei. In 2011, we talked about her work with Wounded Warriors at the Walter Reed Army Medical Center, which later merged with the Bethesda Naval Hospital. She and some of her colleagues play regularly for soldiers who are recuperating and their families. Here they are playing a traditional tune called No Longer Mourn for Me. On 88.1, it's Marilyn Morning with Sheila Cast. Carolyn Surik is also a poet. Her first collection of poems and essays about her experience playing for wounded veterans was called Between War and Here. Her latest literary work is a collection of poems about her father's death and the passing of her stepmother. It's called Silently, Shadows Are Sweeping. Carolyn Surik and I talked about it last January. Let me start by asking you to read the coda of this collection of poems, Silently, Shadows Are Sweeping. This is the last page of the book.
Great. When my daughter was born, I did not want to give her my name, my family name. The letters spelled out despair, alcoholism, lives gone awry, hope lost, tragedy. Long before I was born, my grandfather was living his dream, a beautiful house in Ruxton, his teenagers in private school, a cook in the kitchen and a driver waiting to take him to work. He'd spent his life in radio, and after years of working his way up, he was finally the station manager at one of the biggest radio stations in Baltimore. One year later, he was working at a small station in Winter Park, Florida, my grandmother's alcoholism too destructive for his very public life. When I was growing up, my father was in television news, happy in his work. In 1966, Governor Agnew chose him to be his director of communications for radio and television. After 7 heady years, his career came crashing to an end. He went on, but never recovered from the shock. His drinking became the constant, less social, more habitual. But there was something that I learned about my father that I could only know at the end of his life. My brother and sister and I spent hours, days at his side, holding his hand, stroking his forehead, sitting quietly. Long after he should have died, his lungs kept working, his heart kept beating. His life force was formidable, his will fierce. I am his daughter.
Indeed you are. So tell us about your dad.
Well, he was a remarkable guy. He never graduated from college and went to work at WMAR in a one-man, you know, TV newsroom. He was the guy who wrote the news and filmed the news and handed the script over in the afternoons. And it was a really wonderful time and world for him. And when he got picked up by Agnew to go with him to the governor's mansion, it was extraordinary. And there were a bunch of guys from Baltimore who went with Agnew to the governor's mansion, never imagining that they would go to the White House. And then, you know, just 2 years later, Agnew is nominated. He becomes the vice president. These guys from Baltimore, just guys from Baltimore, end up, you know, on his staff, running his operations. And it was this extraordinary time for many of those guys who were, they used to come to dinner at our house, and the political guys, and they were smart, and they were funny, and they were all so engaged in what they were doing. And they were at the top of the world. And then it literally crashed down around them. I mean, some of them were let go before the very worst time, but Agnew's chief of staff, Arthur Sommer, never worked again. My father was out of work for a very long time when it went from Republican to Democratic administrations. And so that was a huge a change in a person's life. And also, you know, it was in those tumultuous years, the Vietnam years. And so it was a crazy, crazy political time. And my father was one of the people who went from having this extraordinary experience to really having almost nothing.
So let me just make sure I understand. He went to the White House with then Vice President Agnew?
Yes.
And then he lost his job when Mr. Agnew was forced to resign in scandal.
It's a little more complicated than that. Agnew let almost everyone go on the first of the year of the scandal. So my father was placed in a different job before the scandal actually hit the papers, as were most of his staff at that time. But yeah, But
that was a precipitating event to really lead to your father's alcoholism and his problems that really lasted until he passed away.
Well, it was really, I think that it was hard for him to recover from, and it just led to a pretty dark road, yeah.
Yeah.
Because men at that time, you know, it was the 70s. It's not a time you're going to go to a therapist and say, oh, my gosh, I've suffered this terrible grief. Help me through it.
Right.
You know, the real way to get through something like that was a gin and tonic.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And you've written about this book. It's tempting to call it a collection of poems, and I suppose it is, but it's really, it reads in a way more like a narrative, one long poem. About this experience of your dad in his final illness. He came to live with you, and you took care of him before he went into hospice. You dedicate this book to those who choose life and those who cannot.
I really believe that those of us who are able to wake up every morning and go, I love this world. I can't wait to get done what I want to get done. It's such a gift, and there are people who really cannot do that. I mean, who cannot say, I choose life. And it's easy to be angry with them, and it's easy to lose patience, but in fact, it's just such a sad way to live.
Carolyn Surik, her latest book of poetry is called Silently Shadows Are Sweeping. On 88.1, it's Marilyn Morning, I'm Tom Hall. You also talk about your stepmother, a woman your father married named Betsy. Alcoholism was not limited to your father and his family, but also to her. Tell us a little bit about her.
Well, it was a very difficult situation when they met. They were both drinkers. She was much younger than he. And they got married, and she got sober. And she was sober for 13 years. And then he got sober, and she started drinking again. It was like they could not be sober at the same time. And she really descended. I mean, she tried rehab after rehab after rehab, and she could not bring herself to commit to a sober life. And my father, who had quit drinking, had never sort of dealt with the drinking. So he felt like he could fix that in her, which no one can. It's just impossible.
Yeah. The title of the book, Silently Shadows Are Sweeping, comes from one of the poems. Let me ask you to read that.
Great.
Section of the book.
I would love to, thanks. Peace came to me with this truth. Betsy was not the villain, my father not a hero. She did not chain him to the house. He could not extinguish the desire to save her, ignited the day his mother, at breakfast, said to him, the eldest child, I love you, honey. Could you hand me that bottle of Four Roses? Silently, the shadows swept over them.
The shadows swept over them. And a bottle of Four Roses.
It did. Yeah. It did. It was very, very sad.
Do you draw any parallels between the suffering of the soldiers that you played for? And you did this weekly. Are you still doing
it? We're still doing it. Yes, we're still there.
Good for you. Because, yeah. I mean, Walter Reed has closed, but there's a new place.
Right.
And you're still going up
there.
We
go to Bethesda. Yeah.
Yeah, and play every Friday afternoon for the soldiers. That's just such a great thing. I wonder if you have drawn any parallels in your work with them and the suffering that you saw your dad, your mom, and your stepmom go through.
I think of it as being pretty distinct, partly because for many of the wounded warriors, their lives were headed in one direction until a moment, and then something happened which changed their worlds forever. And I think in the case of some alcoholics and the people who love them, it's a much more gradual descent. You're there and you see your dad, and you know he's having drinks in the evening, and then sort of as the years go on, you realize that the drinks are, it takes much less time to get completely wasted, and that it's every day, and that you can tell in his voice on the phone when he started drinking, you know. So there's sort of the accelerated version of trauma, and then the really decelerated version of trauma, and in that way, it's very, very different. But for me, you know, part of the book is about my stepmother dying in a fire, and that kind of crazy, you can't imagine that would happen to someone you know, is a lot like what happens at Walter Reed, where you see these young men and women and some of them so badly blown up, and they had a life before that, you know?
Right.
Yeah.
Right. I'm always nervous about sort of summarizing in a phrase or two what a book is about. You know, so on one level, this book of poems, or this one extended poem, you can almost consider it a big poem or two or three big poems, is about your father and his passing and the situation that he was in with his health, and mental and otherwise. But of course, it's not just about that. I mean, when people ask you, what's this book about? What do you tell them?
Well, what I really say is that alcoholism affects so many people, either tangentially or directly, and that in the process of having a real sadness like this in your life, there are some times when you find yourself in a rage about it, and that you find yourself sort of consumed by the anger of the fact that things aren't changing, or things are terrible, or lives are wasted. And really, in the end, it's the forgiveness of all of that that makes it so that we can go on and live. Or let me just talk for myself. The situation was so dreadful and so dire and so tragic to watch. And I was so angry about it. But it was really in the moment that I was able to look at my father and Betsy and see that they were trapped. And when I was able to see them with compassion and love, I was able to forgive them. And in that forgiveness, I was free.
Carolyn Surik. Her latest book of poetry is called Silently, Shadows Are Sweeping. We spoke last January. Carolyn Surik will read from her new collection 2 weeks from Wednesday, June 11th at 6:30 in the Poe Room at the Enoch Pratt Central Library in Baltimore. Carolyn and her colleagues still play for wounded veterans on Fridays at the Bethesda Military and Veterans Healthcare Center and on Mondays at Fort Belvoir in Virginia. On June 22nd, she'll perform with Trio Galilei here in Baltimore in a concert to benefit the work that they do with wounded warriors. That concert will be at the Church of the Nativity on Cedarcroft Road. We've got links to information about the reading and the concert on our website, wypr.org/Marilyn Morning. On this Memorial Day, we pay tribute to all those who gave their lives in the service of our country. This morning, at this hour, at Delaney Valley Memorial Gardens in Timonium, they're holding the annual Memorial Day observance in the cemetery's Circle of the Immortals, where Maryland servicemen and women are interred. In 2014, one Maryland serviceman lost his life in the line of duty. U.S. Navy Petty Officer Mark A. Mayo, a native of Hagerstown, was killed in March. Last month, he was awarded the Navy and Marine Corps Medal, posthumously. On 88.1, it's Maryland Morning. I'm Tom Hall. Thanks for listening.